is what are you going to do with his presence? Would you lift your hands now in the presence of the Lord? And would you just talk to the Lord right now and tell the Lord what you are going to do to reach to heights and depths in the Spirit by the Spirit, that God may be able to do the works of the Spirit because of His spiritual atmosphere that has been literally entertained in this house. Oh God, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom, Lord, is attempting to come, that thy will may be done, Lord, in the earth, in Singapore, Lord, in this city, state, country, just like it is in heaven, God, that it might have its components that stretch outside of this island country, God. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, help, Lord, I pray somebody, Lord, touch the stream that flows through this house, that they might receive the provision, Lord God, of the power and the dunamis that flows in this house, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. The name of the Lord Jesus Christ. You may be seated in Jesus' name. Let me just say about that album. How many of you have children or grandchildren? Raise your hand. The rest of you, get busy. Get married and get busy. Hallelujah. Praise God. I want to tell you that if you have a child or grandchild, and I'm not saying this, but Brother Pastor Bobby already made provision for all of that material, and I very much appreciate it. But I want to, and because of that, I feel more at liberty to tell you that you need to get your child or your grandchild one of those CDs. And I'm not telling you that to sell you a CD. I am telling you that because I've been getting reports of children literally learning the books of the Bible in 2 days. I'm getting reports of kids reciting, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord." You know, that's what they recited in their houses in Israel, and they still do today in the Jewish culture. 3 times a day, they wake up. The first thing my daughter ever heard when she came out of her mother's womb was Shema Yisrael Adonai Elohim Echad, which is to say, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one," in Hebrew. That is the first thing I wanted my daughter to hear when she came into this earth, because I wanted her to be connected to those things that are supernatural, to those things that are holy and just and righteous and pure and of good report. So if you want your kid plugged into supernatural, spiritual things, give them resources. Don't just give them DSs and give them videos and give them movies and give them toys. Invest in your child in a spiritual reasoning. Let God seed some things in them that when those things mature, they turn into ministries. They turn into cultivated people that have been literally, amen, ingrained around an atmosphere that is apostolic and Pentecostal. That is the reason that I have faith that I do have, because of my mother, because of my father, because they kept bringing me to environments where the Spirit of God would move. If you only bring your child around this once a week, don't expect them to hang out a long time. You know, you're going to get what you train. And if you train them that only coming to church once a week is the best that they should do, then that's what you're going to get. And when you have trouble as a teenager and you're having to need counsel, don't come to him. He tried to give you 2-3 services a week. He tried to give you cell groups. I'm not rebuking you. I'm telling you that if you want the ways of the Spirit in your child, if you want your child growing up in the anointing of the Lord, if you want your child, amen, handpicked by God, and God says, "I want to use him, I want to use her, I want to send them into places that people have never been and be able to spread this gospel," then give God something to work with. I didn't intend to say all that, but the Holy Ghost is probing me to plead with some parent in this room. Train up a child in the way he or she should go, and when they are old, they will not turn from that training. And I feel the Spirit trying to call some people to spiritual commitments like never before, to stop making this a religion and start making it an encounter. Stop making this some, amen, just church structure and start making it a total consummation of what your house is full of all of the time. All of the time. I know people that know how to do church, but they don't know how to be the church. There is a big difference. There are people that know how to do the Sunday morning only. I call them SMOs. Sunday morning only. Because they're too busy. But let me speak a word into your spirit. How are you going to explain to God when you stand before Him in judgment and tell a God that managed 6 billion people you were too busy? I want you to answer that question in your mind. But you don't understand. You're going to have to tell God that. But you don't know my life. You're going to have to tell God that. But I had so much on my plate. You're going to have to tell God that. But Singapore is such a busy place. You're going to have to tell God that. I want you to lift your hands now and worship the King that we are so graciously able to stand before. God, I give you praise, for your grace is enough. It's enough for us to make full-fledged commitments. It's enough for us, Lord God, to build arcs when it doesn't make sense. It's enough, oh God, for us to stand up in the court of Darius, Lord, when everybody else is against us. It's enough, oh God, to say no to the king and end up in a fiery furnace. It's enough, oh God, to end up, Lord Jesus, sawn in half like the prophet Isaiah. It's enough, oh God, to end up like John the Baptist in a prison with his head chopped off. It's enough for us, oh God, to reach, Lord, into the trances of the Spirit and reach a Gentile world at Cornelius' house. Oh God, your grace is enough. It's enough, oh God, to be so consumed that I finally get tired of the cycle of the earth and I get so hungry for the cycle of the heavens. I get so tired of the cycle of the natural that I finally get consumed with the cycle of the supernatural. I get so fed up, amen, with the cyclic patterns of life that I finally make a decision and say, God, enough is enough. I've got to have a touch from heaven that reaches beyond, amen, the state where I've been living most of my life. It is enough. I've got to reach, oh God, to the portals of glory and somehow get, amen, to the place where the throne of God flows, amen, with life and those things of righteousness that only come out of your throne room, God. I finally want to get to the place where I don't just touch you, but I literally figure out how to live in the Spirit. How to live in the Spirit. For the writer said, after much knowledge, after much understanding, after much process of all the things that Solomon went through. And Solomon begins to describe, after his journey of education, his journey of wealth, his journey of multiculturalism, his journey of other countries, his journey of other languages, his journey of other people, his journey of other lifestyles. And he says this after the cycle of what is upon the earth. What profit hath a man? In Ecclesiastes chapter 1, verse 3. What profit hath a man of all his labor which he taketh under the sun? One generation passes, another generation comes. The earth abideth forever. The sun also rises and the sun goes down. and hasteth to his place where he arose. The wind goeth toward the north, turneth toward the south, whirleth about continually, and the wind returneth again according to his circuits. All of the rivers run into the sea, yet the sea is not full unto the place from whence the rivers come, neither they return. Again, all things are full of labor. Man cannot utter it. No, the eye is not satisfied with seeing, or the ear filled with the hearing. The thing that hath been, it is that which shall be. In other words, there's no change under the sun. Under the sun, that which is done is that which shall be done. Under the sun, there is no new thing under the sun. And it hit me. When I read it, it hit me. Solomon had so investigated the natural world. And at the end of his life, the latter part of his understanding, of his wisdom, he's an older man now. He's not a kid. He's been through life. He's seen millions of dollars and billions. According to the project that was built, the Temple of Solomon, in today's economy, in USD funds, let's say Singapore funds, because the USD ones are going down real fast right now. So let's just say Singapore funds. In Singapore funds, you're talking $26 billion. Eat your heart out, casino. Eat your heart out with a boat on top of it. That is only what, like $14 billion? Eat your heart out. Solomon's temple was $26 billion. You think God has a problem with money? No, he's just trying to find somebody to handle it. And he's trying to see who he can trust. When you started talking offering a little while ago, you know what I saw? I saw $1 million trying to flow to somebody, but he was trying to find somebody he could trust. And I'm trying to challenge somebody in this room. I wonder who he could trust. You say, he can trust me? You're probably not the one. The moment that comes into your mind, God realized you're greedy. And you've got a spirit you need to get rid of that's attached to your human flesh, because you're only looking at it to consume it upon your flesh. That's why God will never let you experience that. But it's the guy that says, oh Lord, whatever you allow to funnel through my spirit that comes out of your throne room, I am willing to manage. And I hear Solomon going through all the particles of life, all of them, the emotional state, the financial state, the physical state, the cultural state. He had people coming from all kinds of different countries when he was building that temple. He had all kinds of people coming and filtering myrrh and trees of Lebanon that came down the river, and literally millions and millions of dollars were donated for Solomon's project. Gold and silver and precious stones and metals that were all given. And Solomon watched all these multicultural situations. He had touched, amen, in every aspect of life. And he says, everything's a cycle. There is nothing new under the sun. No new thing is under the sun. And the Holy Ghost quickened my soul. And he said, he's right. He said, but there are millions and millions and millions of things brand new above the sun. And that's when it hit me. This salvation that you have, this baptism in Jesus' name that you took on, this Holy Spirit experience that causes you to speak in a heavenly language, it didn't come from underneath the sun. It didn't come from a cyclic pattern. It didn't come from another culture. It came from another world. That's when it got a hold of me. God started probing my soul and saying, hey, want to come up a little higher? I got something new I want to share with you. But you can't get it while you remain with your mentality and your desires and your focus underneath the sun. He said, because underneath the sun, you're going to live in these cycles. You're going to pray and get delivered and pray and get delivered and pray and get delivered and get frustrated. And you're going to live in these cycles in a perpetual mode. He said, but what if, you know, I've heard songs that say, pray the glory down, you know, praise the glory down, shout until the glory comes down. That's all great. But that's God coming this direction. Why don't we create some songs about us going that direction? Why don't we take a cause and effect, amen, of our consciousness and say, God, today I don't want you to come down. Today I want to leave this domain. I want to step into an atmosphere that is above the sun. I want to step into a realm that is above the sun. I want to step into a realm where there is joy, where there is peace, where there is power, where there is grace, where there is mercy, where there is trust, where there is righteousness, where there is help, where there is hope, where there is God, where there is greatness of the Lord, and where the angels of the Lord encamp round about them who fear you. I want to pursue. Clap your hands for just a second. That's all right. Clap your hands. Clap your hands, all ye people. Clap your hands, all ye people. Clap your hands, all ye people. Clap your hands, all ye people, and shout unto God with a voice of praise. Frustration, depression, void, loneliness, fear, guilt, hurt, pain, revenge, hate, self-righteousness, judging, comparison, failures, all exist beneath us. None of those exist above the sun. And the moment I tap the resources above the sun, that is the reason why you can get in the spirit and speak in tongues for 20 minutes and you feel better. You ever had that experience? Or maybe some of you never prayed 20 minutes before. That's why you're just looking at me. But I'm asking you, have you ever prayed 20 minutes in the spirit and when you got done you felt worse or better? Well, if you felt worse, you weren't praying in the Holy Spirit. You were praying in some other spirit. Because every time I prayed in the Holy Spirit and I got done, I felt better. You know why I felt better? Because frustration, depression, void, loneliness, fear, guilt, hurt, pain, revenge, hate, self-righteousness, judging, comparison had to fall off. It couldn't get to the place above the sun. Can't get there. It can't live there. It can't dwell there. It can't stay there. So when you get pressure that you cannot control and things that are trying to attach themselves to your physical, emotional, spiritual frame, the thing you need to do is separate yourself and separate some time and take. Have you ever had a visitation at your own house? Have you ever had the Spirit of God come down so strong that your 6-year-old child goes running to the room and falls on the floor and starts repenting? I'm telling you these things because they've happened in my house. Because if they don't happen in my house, I have no right preaching them in the pulpit. If I can't cultivate the same kind of atmosphere that I feel going on in the church, since we are the church, we're really not doing the church thing. Because if we can't take this home with us, then all we have is a religion. If this can't be in our house, if your children see something different here than what they see when you get home, then you haven't really convinced them that this is the church of the living God and you are a child of the King with those things that are attached to your human spirit by His Holy Spirit that come from above the sun. You know what hunger does? Hunger causes things to be born. Hunger is the reason a child is born. How many of you ladies ever had a child? Raise your hand. Raise your hand. Raise your hand. I know it hurts, but raise your hand. So they tell me. Well, y'all need to start having more weddings around here, Lord. In the name of Jesus, I pray right now, God, that you cultivate, Lord Jesus, relationships, God, where these people will begin to see the fruit of their labor in the natural sense. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I pray without fear and without trepidation. In the name of Jesus Christ, let the families multiply in this congregation. Let the families multiply. Lord, let new couples that are designed by you and ordered by your grace and your direction come into fruition. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ of Nazareth, I pray right now in Jesus' name, let this thing be loosed as a seed in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Somebody shout in Jesus' name. You didn't shout it. Shout in Jesus' name. There you go. See, you can shout. I watch you worship. He's like a time bomb waiting to explode. Every time he starts worshiping God, he can't hardly control himself. He's like a little pogo stick. How long have you been in the church? You keep it up. And don't you ever stop. And don't you ever let anybody cause you to stop. You just keep going. You keep pushing. You keep pressing. And you just keep jumping. I still jump. It's just you can't tell. I'm a little older now. Mine looks more like a shuffle instead of a run. Looks more like a hobble instead of a hop. Amen. But I really am still shouting and rolling on the floor and running all over the place. It just comes out a little slower. That's all. Hallelujah. But when I began to realize what hunger does in the auspices or in the arena of God moving upon a human being, it is when a person becomes hungry. You ever look at the scripture in the chapter of the book of Matthew in chapter 5, when he goes through this whole dialogue? It's not one blessing after the other. It's not the Beatitudes. That's not really what it is. It's a journey to salt and light. That's what it is. It's how to get to salt, and it's how to get to light. You know why? Those are two things that are indestructible. It's literally how to get to the position of indestructibility. It takes you through the process. But if you'll notice the process, the three first segments of the process is you got to get rid of a bunch of stuff before you truly hunger for God. Because you don't really get to blessed are they that hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. You don't get to that until you let some things go and you let some things die, and then you position yourself in meekness, and then you properly hunger. You know why? Because the first three stages have to do with getting to God for what you want. The first three stages have to do with why you come to church on Sunday morning as a new convert. When you first get to God, you want God because of what He can do for you. You want God because of what He can solve. You want God. You didn't come to God because you loved Him. You didn't even know Him. How can we love somebody we don't know? It's like trying to say, I love my wife. Amen. And you're just barely getting married. That's not love. That's puppy love. You're going to live a dog's life. That's not love. You don't even know. Wait about 5 years. Y'all know you had to work out love. You had to negotiate love. Some of you are afraid to get married. You just became more afraid. But I'm telling you that you have to unload some things before you get to true hunger. Because by the time you get to meekness in the scriptures of chapter 5 of the book of Matthew, you have literally mourned. You have literally, amen, literally emptied your human spirit. Mourn. What's mourning? When do you mourn? When somebody dies. Right? That's why. Because you let it die. Then you can possibly put yourself in a position of meekness. What's meekness? It's the first position. If you look in the scripture, it's the first position where you're actually receiving something. Because you can't really properly receive from God until you become meek. Because that's how we're engrafted into this righteousness of God. Amen. Through the engrafted word that came through how? Meekness, which is the positioning of receiving inheritance from God. Assimilate that right now. Take that into your subconscious, your conscious. Some things are taught, some things are caught, and some things some people never get. But I want you to catch what just happened right now. If you didn't catch it in the natural, catch it in the spiritual. Lift your hands for just a second and worship the Lord. Something just got released here. And this is not on an emotional basis. I don't even feel anything. I just know. It's the absolute dimension of God that's actually that's releasing a divine providence, a divine word, a divine establishing point of how to get to inheritance. Then when you get to inheritance, then the next scripture says, blessed are they that do hunger and thirst. You finally, you know why your taste buds are clear. You ever eaten sushi? I love sushi. Let's have some sushi tonight. I love sushi. But you know what I enjoy about sushi? Besides all the different components that they have, all the different creations, they have this deal called ginger. You know what it's for? It cleans your palate. It cleans your taste buds. So the next thing that you partake of, you actually taste what it really is. And it's not been distorted by what you just ate. So it cleans the palate to prepare you for what's coming next. You know what I hear the Holy Ghost saying right now? I've cleaned the palate so you can receive the new thing that's coming next upon this church. My God, I feel the Spirit of God. And if you will take in and you will take on the things that are being both taught and loosed in the Spirit of God in this atmosphere, God will open up the dimensions of a new thing that are upon you. And I want you to prepare your mind, your spirit, your heart over the next day and two and three and weeks and months to receive the new things and particles that are being released out of heaven that include everything from the natural to the spiritual to the emotional to the psychological that God has seen fit to be able to find a place to release them upon this earth, upon this church, upon this place, upon this city, upon this people, in this house, right now. Now clap your hands, receive that of the Lord, and lift your voice in praise. Somebody tried to tell me one time, as I went to China, said, oh, no, don't expect them to respond. They're not emotional people. Bunch of liars. When I got to China in 3 days, they were rolling on the floor. They were laughing in the spirit. They were seeing Jesus with their eyes open. They were speaking in tongues in my natural tongue. And I thought, I don't know who told me that lie, but forget them. Because when you get above the sun, all the rules change. When you get above the sun, the culture changes. When you get above the sun, everything in perception changes. That's why people will do extraordinary, absolutely off-the-wall things when the Spirit begins to touch them. And you can look at them and say, wow, I didn't expect that out of that person. That's because you looked at them from under the sun. But when the Holy Spirit gets a hold of them from above the sun, they begin to do things. It's like that lady that came to the pastor and she said, Pastor, she had her hands on her hips, and you know when they do that, look out. Right? Especially when a woman does that. Look out. Something's going to go down. And she looked at that pastor and she said, do I have to get the Holy Ghost like that lady? Because that lady was jumping up and down and going crazy. He said, oh, no, no. She said, is that the Holy Ghost? He said, no, no, that's her response to the Holy Ghost. She said, you don't have to do that. She said, okay, good, then I want it. And so she threw her hands in the air. When she got the Holy Ghost, she was worse than that lady. You know why that happened? Because all of a sudden she got above the line. She got above that atmospherical plate that's 12-mile radius around this earth. And she crossed that line. And when she did, she got in a supernatural moment with God that brought her beyond her culture, brought her beyond her perceptions, brought her beyond what she thought was impossible. Now, I remember this whole hunger business. Because when my daughter was born 10 years ago, she, in her mother's womb, was apparently forming real well. And we were in a service. And in this service, this brother came up to me, had just received the Holy Ghost that morning. Say, he looked at my wife, and she was quite expectant and pretty big. And he looked at her, and he looked back at me, said, she has nice shape. I looked at him, I'm a Mexican. Mexicans don't like people looking at their wives like that. I looked at him, I said, what do you mean she's got a nice shape? I'm fixing to give you a shape that's not so nice. I didn't know what he meant. He said, no. He said, I'm a doctor. I said, oh, excuse me. Okay, now you have permission. Just because you're a doctor, you now have permission. Okay. I said, explain. He said, I'm a holistic doctor. He said, her form of her spine is perfect. He said, the shape of her, the formation that's taking place from the creation of this baby, it's in perfect shape. I said, oh, that's awesome. He said, do you know why a child is born? I said, what do you mean? He said, the reason a child actually comes out. I said, no. I said, you're the doctor, remember? He said, the reason a child is born is only one. It's hunger. There is no more food. The placenta has dried up. And the baby has begun to starve. And the baby begins to kick and push. And the reason, it's scientifically impossible for that baby to come out. But the reason that it goes beyond the scientific proof that it can't come out and does come out is because of hunger. And the scripture came to my mind. Blessed are they that do hunger and thirst after righteousness. And I thought, every birth in the spirit realm comes because somebody gets so hungry. So hungry, they begin to kick and push and shove until there's an opening and a diameter big enough to be able to squeeze out into this other dimension. And he further went on to say, he said, do you know why, amen, they're crying? He said, not just because they're hungry. He said, but the other reason they're crying, it's been documented. It feels like their flesh in this brand new dimension is on fire. And the scripture came to me from the old prophet that said, it's like fire, amen, shut up in my bones. That when you enter this supernatural celestial dimension, God literally begins to fuse your frame with things that can only come by the Spirit. If you want to, I had a young man, he said, give me textual proof. Then I'll believe that. I said, you know what? So you're going to have a hard time in God's kingdom. He said, why is that? He said, because you want God to prove everything. It's almost like you're approaching God as God. And you're telling God, prove it to me first, then I'll believe it. You know where you got that from? The world. You know where you got that concept? From the education system. You know where you got that? From hell. Because that's what Lucifer tried to do. And he tried to do it again as a serpent. So, oh no, God didn't say that. Let me tell you what he really said. Let me try to negotiate the terms. All right, that was my introduction. Let me preach a little while. Well, you got nervous all of a sudden. Hallelujah. Praise God. That really was my introduction. Hallelujah.
I'm telling you that I hear the Spirit, amen, trying to tell this church, detach yourself from your cyclic patterns and give me some space so I can do some celestial things I have been wanting to do to shift the environment in Singapore, because at this point, this church is actually supposed to be running 1,000. You're 900 people behind schedule right now. And the only way you're going to catch up is if the Spirit has a sovereign move of God in this area to be able to touch all those living quarters that are around this brand new location, and you'll have such an influx of people, you'll have to keep up. If you'll spend more time agonizing than you do organizing, you're going to touch the spirit world of God, and God is going to loose hell. That is what we need. We need help. Amen? Isn't that right? Amen? We need help. We've tried every program under the sun. Some of you have read books I would never read about leaders that have grown churches into thousands, but they haven't grown churches, they've grown groups. I can grow a group. He's got to be smart enough. Not trying to grow a group. God didn't call me to get a following. God called me to preach the gospel. If you're a preacher of the gospel, don't look for a following. You preach what God gives you. Amen. But I hear the Lord saying, if somebody will get hungry enough, I will birth some things and send you help. You know how many angels there are? A lot of them. You know how, you know, the Bible makes the reference in Revelation, and the theological reference is the word innumerable, right? Innumerable. You've heard that before. Amen? You know how to get to innumerable? Do you know what it takes to get to innumerable? You have to get past hundreds, thousands, millions, trillions, billions, quintillions, quintillions, which is 48 zeros after the number. After you get past quintillion, there's about four more slots, and then you get to this word called gigaplex. Gigaplex is the final numerical structure of the system. After gigaplex starts innumerable. Put that in your Chinese brain. Put that in your Indian brain. Put that in your Malaysian brain and try to calculate that. By the time I got to quintillions, I couldn't even scratch my head. I thought, dear God, what are you saying? He said, I got 100,000 angels just around my throne. He said, why is it difficult for you to believe that in every service there are literally not tens, not hundreds, thousands of angels, literally, amen, waiting to assist. But the problem is, we're still trying to cycle it underneath the sun, and God is waiting for us to tap it above the sun. Oh, lift your hands. There's something shifting right now in the spirit. Lift your hands, lift your voice, close your eyes. If you don't understand any of this, tell Jesus right now, Jesus, let your spirit so consume me so I'll begin to understand the ways of the spirit. Oh God, that the depths of your knowledge of those things which your spirit and which your life will begin, Lord God, to come into the corridors of my thinking. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, Jesus. There was a group of, you ever heard of men people? Men people are over by China. I've never been there, but there was a group that came to California, and they were hungry for God, but they didn't speak any English, just a few of them did. And so one of the young men received the Holy Ghost and was baptized in Jesus' name in Sacramento under Bishop Abbey and the pastorate he has there. And he has about 7 different congregations of all kinds of different nationalities. Phenomenal, phenomenal man of God, visionary of the Lord. And he began to tell me this story that the Lord probed me to tell you today. And he said that the young man came to him and said, Pastor, he said, we got to reach my people. He said, I don't know how to preach this gospel. I am too new. So please, will you come and please, will you preach to them? He said, yes, I will come. So they brought them into a room. There was about 42 of them. They came into the room and they began to sing a few songs. And I remember the first time I came to this Alive ministry. You know what you had for music? An acoustic guitar. Remember that? I think it was a gal playing it, if I remember right. It was a sister playing it. Not a gal, excuse me. And so they play the few songs, and they got done, and he gets up to preach. And so he starts out with a basic statement, and the man looks at him. He says, brother, I'm sorry. He says, there are no words in our language for that statement. Please rephrase. So he said, I tried to rephrase, and I was just going to preach a simple, basic Acts 2:38 message. Repent, be baptized, receive the Holy Spirit. That's it. He said, so I made another phrase, and the man thought for a second. He said, brother, I'm sorry, our language is very limited. He said, we do not have words for those words. Say it a different way. He said, for 20 minutes, I sat there trying just to get a basic statement forward. Finally, he said, I was starting to get a bit frustrated, and a little old lady who couldn't wait anymore got up and walked up, not out. She walked up to the old bishop and she grabbed his hand and put her trembling hand on his hand and stuck his hand right on her head. And when he did put his hand on her head, she passed out. Another person saw it and thought, I want that too. And got up, took his hand, he laid it on their head, passed out. Another one and another one. And another one, and another one. And 25 of them came, and 25 of them are laid out on the floor, passed out. Not just falling down. I'm not talking about that fall down, get up charismatic business. I'm talking about being raised in environments where God would literally knock you out, and He would perform surgery, and when you woke up, you were a different person. That's what I was raised with. And he said, I watched these people, and they were out for 25 minutes. So we worshiped, and we prayed with other people while they did their thing in the Spirit. They were out. They were unconscious. They started coming back, too, after 25 minutes. And the first lady came back, and she started going, no, no, no. And then you could hear the next one, no, no. And the next one, no, no. And so they were perplexed. Why are they saying no? What's going on? And they began to go one after the other. They would check with this one over here and then listen to the story and go to this one over here and listen to the story and go to this one over here and listen to the story. And they all had the exact same story, and it was this. They said, when we passed out after the man of God laid his hand on our head, they said, an angel of the Lord came from heaven and busted the dark ring that exists around the earth, which is the domain of Satan, the prince and the power of the air, according to Ephesians chapter 2. And he said the angel just busted through and busted a hole wide open and came down and lifted us with his hand. And all 25 of us, he took us through the hole and he laid us on this platform. I'm talking about people that have never read the Bible, people that don't know about Calvary, people that couldn't explain the doctrine of their life depended on it. But I'm talking about people that got hungry for a God that is supernatural and a God that is spiritual and a God that has life and a God that is full of celestial dimensions that He is ready to release upon anybody that's hungry. They said they got to the ledge. It looked like a ledge. This tore my heart out. When I heard this, I just started weeping. They said, we saw this figure start to come out, and it was a man. And he came out, and he was very kind. And he stretched his arms out. And he said, you've been wanting to meet me. I am Jesus. And they said, we looked down and it looked like he had had holes in his hands before because there was hair growing around the spot where there used to be a hole. These people don't know anything about this Calvary experience. They didn't know. They were not Christian. They were just hungry. And I pray that somebody's heart gets a hold of this today, and God can wrap His hand around your heart in so much that you stop some of the things that you are doing and say, God, I must take some time to create some hunger to get to places I have never been before in my life. I feel Jesus in this place. I feel Jesus in this place. I feel the Lord in this house right now. They said, it was amazing. He came out and He began to tell us what we had been wanting to know. He began to tell us of His kingdom. He began to tell us of His righteousness. He began to tell us of His glory. He began to tell us who He was. We were so excited. And we were so full of joy. But the reason we started saying no is He looked at all 25 of us and He said, now you will have to return. You will have to go back into your bodies and you will have to listen to the man of God and obey what He tells you to do. He will show you the way of salvation. I thought, God, the sovereign concept of that whole thought process just blows me away, Brother Bobby, Pastor, that God would have so much trust in ministry, Brother Monzi, that He would send people back from heaven to hear this gospel. And that's the reason they were all crying. No, they didn't want to return. Because once you taste of that heavenly, amen, atmosphere from God, it's not difficult to operate on the earth. You just got to learn how to make the trip back and forth until you make the last one. There, my dad already died and came back. My father literally died, went to heaven, saw the angels. They were dressed in brass. He was coming in side of heaven, and the Lord spoke to the angels and said, don't let him in. It's not his time yet. And he said, oh, no, no, I'm coming in. My dad's an old pastor. And he's been in this thing a lot of years. And he looked at them angels. He said, no, I'm coming in. I'm here. They said, oh, no, no, no. He said, oh, yes, yes, yes. They pushed him back. He flew back. He said, I got back up. I went back in to go inside. And I pushed him. I said, Dad. He said, well, I was there. So I don't want to come home. Say, I'm too old. You stay here. I said, okay, I'll stay here. Because I'm not ready to go home. I got a 10-year-old daughter I want to attend to. Praise the Lord. And he said, I pushed on him a third time. I said, how many times did you push? He said, I don't know. I didn't count, honestly, but at least three. He said, but one time they pushed me so hard, and I flew all the way back into my body, and I felt your mother's tears on my face as I came back to life. So I'm telling you, the trip back and forth, it is worth it, even before you die. You know, people talk about wanting to see His face, but I really don't believe half the people that sing that stuff even really believe that stuff. They don't really believe that it's possible to get in the Spirit and get into spiritual realms where God literally allows you to get to His throne room. I'm sorry, but I'm different. I actually believe that stuff. I've actually been trained by people that took trips to the Lord. One man visited the Lord and saw Him 27 times out of body. Say, I don't know if I believe that. Well, you wouldn't like the Apostle Paul. You really wouldn't like his life, because whether in the body or out of the body, he could not tell. But in the day of the Lord, the Spirit of the Lord caught him away. Amen? That was some of you. Amen? That was most of you. Amen? That was just about all of you except two. Huh. And I heard the Lord saying to me, who wants to come up above the sun? Who wants to come into the place? Because when they got back, all 42 people received the Holy Ghost and all 42 people were baptized in Jesus' name. And that is how their church started. We don't need another program from another book. We need angelic help. We need celestial help. We need visitations of the supernatural that will so shift the atmosphere that it changes people's minds. Lift your hands right now. I feel something germinating in this house, and just worship the Lord for a second in this atmosphere. Oh God. Oh Kori Koto Soriki Adamahata. My Lord, Lord in heaven. Hariatosoriki Adamaha. Allow us the privilege, oh God, to enter into celestial places. God, I pray heavenly things, heavenly access, heavenly germinations. Errikosoto nemoroko soto nemoroko salabara. I gotta hurry up or you'll be here all afternoon. But I heard the Lord begin to talk to me about what happens under the sun that causes people to buy into a cycle that only gets them so far. And then they become content. It is the word negotiation. It is the word that you cannot afford in spiritual atmospheres. Because hell, listen to me, I'm telling you, hell will negotiate you out of a supernatural experience in order to feel good enough to get by. Good enough to feel a touch from heaven. Good enough to feel, amen, relieved of whatever it is that's causing issues in your life. And when you feel that release, you stop. And the Lord says, how about coming a little further? How about going a little higher? How about coming up? Come on. Let's go a little higher. I detached you from all that stuff so you could get to where I wanted you to go, because you couldn't get there with all that stuff attached. So I had to detach that stuff first to make you, amen, available to come into those dimensions. That makes sense? It's called repentance. It's called forgiveness. It's called mercy. When that happens, that's not the culmination. That's the entrance gate. You people look at God's movement upon them, and when they get a great touch from God, they think that's the culmination. That's not the culmination. That's the entrance gate. You know, we used to, I was a child growing up in the church, and we'd go to church, and we'd stay till midnight. And when we'd have revival, you know when we had revival? Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. Twice on Sunday. Sometimes three times. So I was going to church during revival 7 to 10 times a week. Some of you can't even calculate that right now. Your brain just lost a fuse. But that's the way I was raised. You say, oh, it's different back then. Is it? I live sometimes off 5 hours of sleep because of those revivals. But you know what? My brain still works. Obviously, I made it to some level of education. Yeah, I touched that education, and boy, in the Asian culture, you've touched a hot topic. I know. I was born at night, but not last night. But I'm going to tell you, there is a higher intelligence above the sun than any intelligence you can get beneath the sun. And whoever sold you the bill of goods, I'm not against degrees. I'm not against education. I believe you should get an education, then get over it. Don't let it become your stumbling block. Because there's so much higher intelligence above the sun. Every invention comes from God that's good upon the earth. Who do you think invented? You ever heard of the invention of the thumbprint on computer? The ID print? You ever heard of that? You know who invented that? An apostolic pastor. You know how he invented it? He prayed before he went to bed, and he got in the spirit, and the Lord gave him a dream. and in the dream gave him the components to invent the print. He said, now you should have seen it from the dream to fulfillment. I had to go through a bunch of nightmares. He said, but God gave it to me. He gave me an invention that literally was wrapped around thousands and hundreds of thousands of dollars. And he connected with people in Japan. He connected with people in China. God gave him a team, a network of people, of heathens that paid for it. And literally, the other day I was in Boston, and he was in a service, and I stopped, and the Holy Ghost said, tell him, the invention I gave him before is nothing compared to the one he already got from me in the second wave that I'm giving him now, because now I can trust him. And he started dancing. He said, bro, it's already in the works. It's already happened. He said, you had no idea. I haven't told anybody. He said, but this one is 10 times bigger than the print. Man, bro, he said, it's just that God, he said, God wants to do this for so many people. He said, but they don't take it, amen, literally serious that God is looking for vessels he could funnel this stuff through. There is revelation happening to some people in this house right now. If you look at the whole scenario in 2 Kings chapter 18, and I'm not going to spend a lot of time there, but it's the scenario, amen, when Rabshakeh is literally, amen, coming and trying to cry to the Jews and telling them, God's not going to do what he promised. The man of God's been saying all kinds of stuff. It's not going to come to pass. Stop believing that stuff. In other words, he was trying to negotiate them out of their promise. And so he did it by accusation. You're not worthy. You ever heard that? Ever heard that from hell? Now, you're not deserving. You don't deserve that. No, you can't get there. You just don't expect that, what that preacher's saying, to apply to your life. Your life's a wreck. Your life's ruined. Your family's falling apart. You got a whole bunch of trouble. And he starts trying to negotiate you away from your promise so you can settle for something less. And I hear the Holy Spirit telling somebody, don't you negotiate now. What I spoke unto you, I will fulfill. What I prophesied unto you, I will make it come to pass. What I put into motion by the Spirit, amen, hell will not be able to stop it. So do not negotiate your faith. Do not negotiate your declaration. Do not negotiate your worship. Do not negotiate where you stand. Do not negotiate what you've received from the Lord. Do not negotiate any word, every dot, every crossing of the T, every I. You hang on to it as your life source, because it's been given to you by the Holy Spirit. Clap your hands unto the Lord. This is good. Yes. Yes. He is called, Revelation 12 calls Satan the accuser of the brethren. He does that not just during the day. He does it day and night. 24/7, he is accusing. Notice purposes. The Babylonian kings of the past kept trying to bind Israel, and they couldn't do it. Because every time Israel would get desperate, they'd cry out to God. And every time they cried out to God, God would send them a deliverer. And God would get them out of the mess, and Babylon would be destroyed. And removed, taken out of the way, Assyria, whatever the case was. God would send somebody, a prophet, a judge. He'd send an army. He'd send angels. He'd send, amen, on the top of mulberry trees, all those angels that showed up, 100, I can't remember how many angels, thousands of angels showed up at the top of mulberry trees, amen, and instantly in one night, 185,000 of the enemy were destroyed in one night. And so the Babylonian king that came into being was smart. He was a historian. And he started studying the battles that had taken place in the kingdoms that had been overthrown in time past before from God's children. Because he said, we cannot figure out a way how to destroy these Israelites. Because every time they call out to their God answers them. Every time they speak to their God comes and he delivers them. So I have to figure out a way to stop them from calling out to their God. figured it out. When they went into 70 years of captivity, you know how they got there? He took those Israelites and he took them through the valley where all the dry bones were, where all the defeated foe and all those skeletons were laying on the side of the road. And when he drug them out, including the old prophet, amen, that had the vision later in the valley of dry bones, when God asked him, hey, can I still have a revival in the midst of a people that won't even call me? When the king of Babylon took them out, he made them look at those bones. He demoralized their minds and demoralized their perception. He demoralized them so much to make them think they couldn't rise above the state they were in, so they would not call out to their God. And then they hung their harps. And they got demoralized. It took out their voice to call on the Lord. And I hear hell trying to negotiate. Trying to negotiate somebody to the point where you don't even call out on God anymore. But I hear the Spirit trying to say, I want to give you heavenly things. I want to give you heavenly things. You know that by the time Jesus came to the Pharisees and Sadducees, they were demoralized. They were a religious sect that was demoralized. They went through the routine, they went through the rituals, but they didn't have any spiritual understanding. They had lost all spiritual connectivity to their God. They weren't spiritual. They were as carnal as could be, because only carnal people would crucify, amen, an innocent man. Right? Only carnal people would say, crucify him! Let his blood be upon our children! Of the present 6 million Jews that were in existence that day, of the current 6 million Jews that were destroyed during Hitler's time, the blood was truly upon their children. But I heard the Lord begin to try to reinstitute this. You know where it starts? Go to the book of John, chapter 3. There's a visitation. He has just been in the temple in chapter 2. He's turned over tables. He's done what nobody else has done. He's healed the lame. He's opened blind eyes in the temple. Guess who's there? You know it. What's his name? Nicodemus, right? What is he? A leader of the Jews. Where is he going to live or be for sure at the feast? Where is he going to be when the temple is having their feast time? Right there. Of course, you can figure it out just by reading it. You think he's going to miss that one? No, not that one. He might miss some other, but you won't miss that one. When the feast came and all the people gathered from all the villages and towns and areas and countries around, and they all gathered, amen, to have their feast and feast of weeks, amen, those leaders were there. So Jesus steps in right in the middle of their party, throws over those tables, kicks out those money changers, heals the sick in front of them. And nobody does anything. And Nicodemus is thinking in the back of his mind, who is this? I think I remember this guy. He showed up 18 years ago and he confounded us with his wisdom at 12 years of age. This is the same guy 18 years later, and he comes into the temple now and he's throwing over tables and he's healing the sick, and none of my colleagues are doing anything about it. I got to find out what this is about. So he gets a hood and he puts it over his head and he makes himself look Pharisaical. And he walks over by night and he meets the Lord. He says, we know you're from God. Nobody can do all these miracles. Which ones? The ones I just saw last chapter. I just saw you turn over tables. I just saw you do stuff nobody's ever been able to do in that temple. I just saw you bring in the lame, the blind, the maimed, which are not allowed in the temple in the first place, but I just saw you do it, and I just saw you heal them, and I want to know how this happened. How'd you get away with this? What are you tapped into that I'm not tapped into? I want to know. So the Lord says, oh, okay, you're asking me about heavenly things. Things above the sun. So let's talk a little while. Because if you're just talking about... let's test you. Let's see how you do. He said, because we got to figure out here if you're able to handle heaven. So, let's start with the primary. A man cannot see the kingdom of heaven unless he's born of the water and of the Spirit. How you doing? What do you mean? Like I got to go back in my mom's womb? And what are you saying to me? I'm trying to understand you. Come on, this isn't logical. You're not making logical sense. Come on, you got to make logical sense. Well, you want to talk about heavenly things, right? Okay, I'm testing you to see how you do. If you can't understand natural things that are upon the earth, how are you going to understand heavenly things that are above the sun? So let me test you. How you doing? You can't enter unless you're born of the water and of the Spirit, or born again. He said, born again. Let me see. Let me catch this. Okay, wait. I'm not getting this. So he sees Nicodemus in his confusion. So he comes back to him a different way. He says, okay. He says, you can't enter the kingdom of God unless you're born of the water and of the Spirit. He breaks it down a little further. He says, do you understand that? And I could just still see Nicodemus scratching his head, going, man, I'm not getting this. And I'm supposed to be smart, you know. I got all this stuff going on, and I'm not getting this stuff. You know, and help me out here, Lord. What are you saying? He said, okay, let me try a third way. So he gets to verse number 8. Verse number 8, he's breaking it down for the third time. He says, okay, the wind. Let's talk about natural things. Let's talk about elements of the earth. Maybe you'll understand it that way. The wind. The first time he's ever run the aisles. Hallelujah. The wind scared him. Hallelujah. No. The wind bloweth where it listeth, where it wants to. You hear the sound there. You can't tell where it's coming from. You can't tell where it's going. But so is everyone, Nicodemus, that is born of these spiritual things you're asking me about. Because you're asking me how these things work from another world that have come into this world that are blowing my mind. Nicodemus apparently has this look on his face. It's kind of like this. And the Lord looks at him and says, aren't you a master of Israel? That's what he says. Aren't you a master of Israel? Aren't you a master of being a Christian? And knoweth not these things? You've been in church how long and you still don't know about spiritual access points? And I hear the Lord challenging this congregation this morning and saying, I've been waiting on you. You're not waiting on me. If you go through the Scripture, here's a shocking reality. The Lord never brings up heavenly things again until you get to the book of Corinthians and Ephesians. He mentions it in Acts, but it's not in relation to progression that he's talking about heavenly things. He stops talking about heavenly things because he realizes the people need miracles first to get accustomed to heavenly things before we start talking heavenly things again. So he literally does 37 miracles after that conversation, and he never mentions heavenly things again. Not to the general public. Not to the leadership and the Sadducees and the Pharisees. But when he starts again, it's when the church has already been formed. It's when the church already has a little bit of meat on their bones. It's when the church has already gotten a little bit of structure. And he starts first. It's the image of the heavenly in 1 Corinthians 15 and 49, which is the mind, perception, imagination. Then it's heavenly places in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3, 1:20, 2:6, 3 and 10. And then it's heavenly kingdom, which is 2 Timothy 4 and 18. And then it's heavenly calling, which is Hebrews chapter 3, verse 1. And then it's heavenly gift, which is Hebrews chapter 6, verse 4. And then it leads to heavenly things, which is Hebrews 8 and 5 and Hebrews 9 and 23, which leads to a heavenly country, which is in Hebrews 11, 16, which leads to a heavenly city. Hebrews 12 and 22. I didn't get this from a book. I got this when I was in the Spirit. And I was in the Spirit on the Lord's Day, and the Lord said, you want to know why? And where I'm trying to lead my church? I said, I do. I do. I don't want to read books. I don't want to get ideas from other people. They may have heard from God. That's fine, but I can hear from God too. I'm not opposed to books. I'm trying to write a book right now, and I'm not even a writer, but God told me to do it, so here I go. I'm trying. But I said, no, I want to know. He said, I want to get my people so accustomed to heavenly things that when they get there, they're already familiar. Man, I stopped. I thought, that makes more sense than an education. Some of you have educations and you can't even get a job in the education you have. It's like, what do you got an education in? Well, biochemistry. What do you do for work? I'm a waiter. Huh? How'd that happen? I can't find any work. I went to school 4 years and nobody hired me. You ever run into that before? I got several nods going on and the rest of you are in shock. You got that look on your face. Why? That's the system out there. What God teaches you in the Spirit never goes to waste. What God shows you in heavenly places never goes to waste. My God. You know, I am shocking some people's natural theologies right now. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to do all that. Amen. Don't worry, I'm just about out of battery, so my computer's going to turn off, so you don't have to worry. God cut the message short. But I'm telling you, right now in this house, I hear the Spirit saying, does anybody want to get to heavenly things? Because when you do, I have manifestations that I will release upon you. You know how I ended up in China? I didn't ever want to go to China. Why would you want to go to China? It's communist. I mean, think about it. Turn that off if you know how. And I didn't mean that derogatorily, Pastor. Not at all. I just meant about turning into the 2-minute segment. If you know how to do that, help him out. And but let me tell you something. The Lord dealt with me in a spirit of laughter. I was at Brother Marcelli's church in Louisiana, in the States, United States, and I. Long story short, I was walking by him. The Lord said, touch him one more time before you go change your clothes. We were done preaching. All the altar was pretty much finished. I touched him and I started laughing. He started laughing. We fell on the floor. We laughed for the next 4 hours. We stayed in the Spirit to the point my wife even got scared. She's like, are you okay? She asked the other sister, the pastor's wife, she said, is he okay? She said, no, they'll be fine. He said, the problem is my husband's found a partner now. Now they're both nuts. And they're going to be in the Spirit and say, it might last all night. For 4 hours, we couldn't stop. We spoke in all kinds of different dialects and tongues in the Spirit. You know, no offense, but you know when you're talking Chinese. Because it don't sound like Italian. It don't sound like Arab, and it don't sound like English. It's got that ding, 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 ding. I'm not trying to make fun. I'm just telling you, when it started coming out of my mouth, I was going, whoa, this ain't English. And I realized I was in some Oriental dialect. Is that all right? I don't want to offend you. I love you. I love Chinese people. I do. Honest to God, you have no idea how God did this in me. I can't really explain it all. I won't. But when I got up off that floor and we came to ourselves in the natural sense, Brother Marcelli looked at me and he said, do you know what happened to you? I said, well, we were in all kinds of dimensions. He said, do you know where you went? I said, not really. He said, let me tell you. He said, I kept listening and you kept going to different countries. He said, you got there first in the Spirit, and you're about to go there in the natural. I had never been to China. 3 months after that meeting, Brother Steve Willoughby called me on the phone and said, the Holy Ghost just spoke to me. Apparently, it takes 3 months for things to get from the United States to Singapore. But 3 months later, Brother Steve Willoughby called me and said, the Holy Ghost just spoke to me and said, you've got to go to China now. I said, I know it. It's right. There's only two places in the world I have ever cried when I entered into those countries. The first one was Ethiopia, and I've been to over 50 countries. The second one was China. I thought, God, what is this? He said, it got birthed in the spirit dimension. He said, and now that it's birthed in the spirit dimension, you're going to need some new tools to deal with the arenas you're about to come into. So I went to another prayer meeting. I didn't know what I was going for. I was going because the Lord said go. So I went. It was my intercessor team. I got four of them. They pray for me every day. Major intercessors. So I said, I got to meet with you. We got to have a council meeting, a shut-in meeting where the devil can't hear, see, or speak what's going to go on in there. I believe in that. It's called strategic moves of God in the Spirit. It's when God shuts you in and hell doesn't know what you just been told. I've been in many of them, many of them, many of them. And when God gives you that stuff, He gives it so you can keep it till the right timing. That's what dreams are about. When you get a dream from God, don't go blabbing it. You just told the devil what the strategy is for your future victory. Joseph got in trouble when? When he told the dream. Not when he got the dream. He wasn't in trouble when he got the dream. He got in trouble when he told the dream. Why? Because he released a strategy before its time. So I get in this chamber, long story short, and we start praying. I don't know. We've been praying, I don't know, an hour, 2 hours. And all of a sudden, for the first time in my life, it was the first time that ever happened to me, my spirit leaves my body. And I'm literally being translated. Now, I don't know where I'm going, but I trust the Lord. And so I my spirit's going out, and it lands on this island. I don't know what the name of it is. I don't know where it's at. Might be around here. I don't know. I don't know where I was. But I landed on this island, and I was in this. It looked like your theater, your new theater. It looked similar to that to describe it in physical form. It wasn't like that, but it had windows on top, and light rays were beaming out of heaven through those openings, and they were coming straight into me. And God was transforming something inside of me, and I looked over to my left. When I looked over to my left, speaking in tongues still, I'm not explaining this to anybody. The intercessor on my left, Brother Joshua, Brother Winters is his name actually, and he said, Brother Hernandez, over to your left now, the angel that just showed up, and I'm watching it as he's saying it. He says, that angel will now reach into that room. And the angel reached into the room, just like he said. And he said, now he's pulling out. There it is. And it was a sword. He said, he's giving you brand new equipment. All the swords, all the plates, all the shields, all the helmet, everything that was being brought out of there was fused with light. And he said, God is trading out your equipment right now because of the arenas you're about to step into. For the next 20 minutes, this is going on as the angel of the Lord brings me a brand new dressing. When I am done, I kind of just collapse in the chair, and I come to, and the pastor's looking at me in the room there where we're assembled, and he says, are you all right? I said, yeah, I'm doing awesome. He just started laughing. He said, I figured. He said, can you share it? Is it all right? I said, I think so. He said, don't worry, the room's covered. I said, I know that. He said, I think I could share it. So I started telling them about this experience of this dimension of light. And Sister Donna, who is a lead intercessor, she starts laughing. And she looks at Sister Hannes and she says, have I moved my finger from this chapter and verse? I've had it on the whole time he's been praying. She said, no, you haven't moved. You've kept it there the whole time. You know what it was? Romans. You know what it was about? The armor of light. I about fell apart. I thought, God, I don't even know how this happened. And the Lord said to me, learn. Learn how it happened. Because I want you to come here more and more often. I want you to get to the place where I can do things for you that I can only do outside of the natural realm. Would you stand to your feet now? I want you to come to the altar. Move these chairs. Move this pulpit back. And I want you to join yourself with somebody that is not from your family. That you don't live in the same house. The reason I'm doing that is because it's a whole lot easier for you to believe and lose your faith with people whom you don't know their problems. You don't know what they're going through. You don't know even what they might need to get through whatever they're going through. But akandele horoko toporo hana kariaradala rakaporo hananaya lekototo. Merindele koraha mora katete seporo hana la 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 rane mototo. Rekandele hota kaya hata. Dendele kosupori kini atala arenoko. Rima andosu tori. I thought you